Hi, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Dunker Spot. We are part of the Basketball News Podcast Network. I am your host, Nikias Duncan, and joining me as always is my co-host, Steve Jones Jr. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, man.
What is this?
Feeling good, feeling great. Happy to be here, excited to be here. Thank you, Dunkers, for once again embracing your bounce. What's up, man? I'm just honored to be here. Nikant Lose Duncan.
Why is that the name today?
The question, Duncan. What's up, man?
I don't like where this is going.
What do you mean? We're here to, like, we can't do a victory lap? The Manchester United ain't lost in 8 weeks. Aces just had a big win. You are delivering great content, great questions. It's a celebration, man.
This feels like a setup to a bit.
Nah, man. I'm here to play pick and roll today.
I will be keeping my eyes peeled on this. At any rate, how was the weekend?
It was good, man. Short, but it was good. I'm only here to set you up for layups.
Oh, brother. All right. Well, then. We can talk about some layups or a lack thereof as we transition to discussion of the Chicago Sky's Game 3 victory, a 76-72 win over the Connecticut Sun. That's good stuff.
Steve is here. Come on, man.
We're going to dig right into it. We were talking a little bit before I pressed record on this Zoom call. And as someone that, to peel the curtain back, one, I missed basically the first half and then some of the game on Sunday because I was heading back from church. So I got to watch the full game earlier today. We're recording on a Monday night. And the level of annoyance I felt watching the Connecticut Sun during this game three is, like, honestly, it was like 2021 Bucks level stuff. Like, I felt myself just watching. I ended up threading some of the first quarter and I just had to stop for a little bit. And I was like, no, because this is just going to turn into like a negative thread. I don't want it to be that. But the Connecticut Sun could not get out of their own way in this basketball game. I want to start there. We're going to dig into what the Sky did. Obviously, they won this game. I don't want to be like they just did nothing in this game three because they did. But just watching through that and watching some of the process stuff from Connecticut, watching some of the efforts made by some of their players, particularly Jonquel Jones, who just did not have a good outing on either end to the point where Kurt Miller pulled her during a crucial stretch of the fourth quarter of this game. It was baffling to watch. It was baffling to watch some of the unforced turnovers. It was baffling to watch some of the fouls. Again, to the process in the half court offensively, they're flowing into a pick and roll that rolls into a whole bunch of help. The ball swings. I just didn't know what they were trying to accomplish. And I think that's what stood out in a game where both offenses struggled to score at stretches of this game. It at least felt like the Sky had a purpose. And we saw particularly in the second half where they started getting some of the backdoor cuts late in the clock because they just kept the ball moving and they kept their bodies moving. With the Sun, it never felt like they knew what they wanted to do. And for a team that's been together as long as it has been, a team that is a good team objectively, the lack of a plan midway through a series in a crucial game three on your home court, it's disappointing to see. And like the meme was Kurt Miller during a timeout asking his players if they can make layups. Like they shot 16 of 39 in the restricted area in this game. It's inexcusable stuff.
I mean, not to cut you off, but anytime a coach says any suggestion on how to get you guys to make a layup, plus I'm going to get fired because you guys can't make a layup, is wild. But do continue.
That's why I still, like, that's going to be the meme. And, like, honestly, first listening to that, like, it felt very tongue-in-cheek. I understand why other people took that more negatively than it was. But it's also kind of emblematic of the Sun just take the game. Win it. You have talent. You have depth. You have coaching. Win. Make your shots. Run good things on offense. They played pretty well defensively. Overall, take it.
Well, see, Nikias, this is the issue. And this is where I point to their opponent. You have to beat the Sky. You have to beat them. Hanging around isn't going to get it done because the Sky can figure out how to find a way to win. That wasn't even a very good Sky offensive performance. And to your point with what the Sun did, they were still right there. Had every chance. So the problem is you have to put this team down over and over and over again. And I think the Sun are still just searching. But there's not one thing I could tell you that you feel is automatic, right? Mm-hmm. There's not one pressure point that is automatic right now. And the problem with, I was rewatching it. I heard the stat, 18 missed shots in the paint in the first half, 8 of 24 within 5 feet of the rim in the first half. And the other part of that, the other deflating part, is the Sky's defense was engaged. So you're having to work hard to get these looks in the paint. Mm-hmm. And you're not converting them. And you're a paint team. And you're also turning the ball over. So all these opportunities are right in front of you. And that's where this becomes a pretty deflating loss, because now you're in elimination territory. Mm-hmm. And we should all know by now, elimination games can get tricky, because whatever the template was for the series doesn't actually matter. All they got to do is do one thing for 40 minutes. That's it. Curtains. It's over. So it was a weird – the Sun felt like they were in a weird place the entire game. The entire game.
Nobody looked – like, it's a basketball game. You don't have to look happy. But there just felt like there was a tension there. Like, the entire team just felt frustrated.
It was weird. It was weird vibes the whole time. The biggest play that stuck out to me, I put it in all caps in my notes. I think it was midway through the third quarter. Jonquel Jones has a steal, I believe. Alyssa Thomas has the ball at the free throw line. Jonquel Jones is stealing. Alyssa Thomas throws it right down the middle of the paint, out of bounds. Like, not even like Jonquel's hand is to the left outside the paint, and the ball is going right down the middle out of bounds. And I was like, wow, what is going on today?
And that's fresh off of the first quarter possession in which Jonquel Jones is calling for the ball on the left block after getting, I can't remember which guard it was switched on her, but then another guard, Rebecca Gardner, gets switched on to her later in the possession. And Jonquel Jones is just holding Rebecca Gardner, calling for the ball to swing to the high post to set up the high-low so she could just get the easiest. Well, she also missed layups, but in theory, just the easiest shot of the night she was going to get. And the ball just did not find her. And it's an offensive 3 seconds. And Jonquel is just beside herself, wondering how on earth did we not swing the ball and set up the high-low.
Strange stuff. And this is kind of, you don't want to go too far past the X's and O's of the series, but self-awareness is tough. Mm-hmm. It's a tough thing to deal with. When you know you're in a situation and you know what you're up against and you know what the future may lie, it can lead to this. And for me, stands out. I think Chicago's up 4. There's like a minute 14 left in the game. They're doing a review and they pan to the Sun. All 5 players are just standing next to each other, just their hands on their hips. Like, there's no conversation, no huddle. Just, I was like, huh. Could they have won this game?
Man, they probably should have. Like, if they make shots on the interior, we're here. Process be darned. Like, they could have done it from that standpoint, but it just felt so much like they were getting in their own way. And I hate how boring that may sound, but it's a team that just did not execute while facing an opponent that you have to execute against. As you stated many times, you have to beat this guy. You have to bury them, because they're not going to get flustered. They may get frustrated with a call, or if their shots aren't falling, they're going to keep plugging away. And after every foul or ball gets deflected out of bounds or whatever it is, they're huddled up. They're talking to each other. They're encouraging each other. Shout out my guy, Chris Williamson, posted a picture of Candace Parker and Kalia Copper together, and Candace kind of imparting into her and lifting her up. Like, you see that, and then you contrast it to the stretch that you just talked about, where all five Sun players are just standing there and not really talking to each other. It's just, it's, you have to, they're just, I'm so flustered thinking about this game.
No, it's all right. And while you try and gather some of the rays from the sun here, I'll point to what the Sky did as far as continuing with their belief in what they do on both ends of the floor. I thought the Sky did what they're supposed to do offensively. Box score is not going to tell you that story, but the Sun were active. It appeared like they were locked in. The one thing in this game, the Sky just kept moving the ball. They just kept going to the next action. They kept forcing and keeping the pressure on the Sun. Rarely did it feel like it's pass, stand, watch. They were trying to get to something. If game two was the off ball cutting, increasing, game three felt like the Sky just playing on the Sun's help and rotations. Like, we're just going to drive multiple times to get to the kick. The Sky never really felt sped up. Like, even if it went deep in the clock, okay, let's get a drive. Let's get another pick and roll. Let's get you the ball watch, and now we cut. Or let's drive knowing you're going to help, now we kick. Or let's run a pick and roll. Maybe we get past Jones. Now y'all are helping on the weak side. Not sure if you should hold. Not sure. Now we get a cut or we get a kick. Those kind of little things that Sky did where they had a belief in finding what they could get to. Mm-hmm. For the Sun, the movement was occasionally there. The tempo wasn't great, but it never felt like this is the thing that we can do. Like, you think about it, the Sky, we talked about their activity defensively in pick and roll. And this game is a lot of drop. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, hey, y'all fire away if you want. We're just going to sit and wait for that short roll pass and contest or mm-hmm. have two or three bodies on the catch. And that's part of what we talked about as far as the Sky's ability to just have multiple things they can throw at you. So that when you think you found an automatic, you think you found a rhythm, nope. You got to deal with this. Now try again.
And just the bounce off of that, like, it kind of, with the Sky going to more of a drop in this game three, it really played on how important the spacing is for the Sun in a way. And I was just keyed in on, okay, who's rolling where? Who's spaced where? And where are the rolls going when they do go to pick and roll? Because it's enough to where Chicago's in this drop and you have to rely on the guards, or if it's DeJuan Bonner running the ball screen, can they knock down enough pull-up shots? And in this one, like, the answer was just no. They could not do so. But your bigs are your best players. Alyssa Thomas, you want her making short roll reads. Or depending on who she's screening off, if she can force the mismatch, you want her to abuse those mismatches, because that's where Alyssa Thomas is at her best as a scorer. If you're able to force the peel switch or something of that nature, get a smaller player on her, she's able to bully them. That's how she gets the points. She had a terrible scoring game in this game three. Jonquel just didn't seem to have many openings. And when she did, the Sun struggled to get her the ball. And Alyssa Thomas was just rolling into the lap of a player. And depending on where everyone else was spaced, it was rolling into whoever was the drop big and then also the helper right there. And as you mentioned, Chicago was able to go to one action. Oh, it didn't work. We're going to swing. We're going to do it with something else. The Sun tried to set something up. And if it didn't work, it's just like, oh, let me just dribble in place. Call for another ball screen. Let's hope this works. Let's hope Chicago cracks. Let's hope Chicago does something wrong versus we are going to dictate the spacing or dictate the matchups in a way to where you're going to have to choose a poison. There just wasn't enough of that purpose in the half court for Connecticut.
No, I agree. And you had a game where clearly didn't necessarily shoot the ball well. Not like Vandersloot was creating and scoring. The bigs had to carry a lot of the load offensively for the Sky. But again, that balance, it's tough to deal with. And now the Sky is a scenario where they just got to win one and they're back where they want to be. And so the danger for me is, do the Sun let go of the rope? Is this what happens in the next game? Or do they find a will to battle on both ends of the floor?
Like, to be transparent, like, it feels more likely that it's let's just get this over with more than let's rally together and win two straight. Like, that's my read on, just based on what happened in that game three and just the body language in general. from multiple players during that game three. It's, I go back to the first quarter. You can check the thread on my timeline if you'd like for the listeners out there. But I'm going to the first quarter where Courtney Williams is calling for a screen for Alyssa Thomas. She rejects the pick, and Alyssa Thomas slumped shoulders. Like, what is she doing? Instead of trying to figure out, all right, am I going to set an off-ball screen for someone? Am I going to find a lane to cut into to give a relief? It's just frustration, like, what's happening here? And that's coupled with John Quayle being like, what's happening here? And there's just so much of that.
Oh, and the wild part is, while the shooting wasn't great, you did get guard play.
Yeah.
You did get 18 from Bonner. You got 12 from Williams. You got 14 from Heidemann. Jonquel and Alyssa Thomas had 12 points on 6 of 22 shooting. Bree Jones was 4 of 11. You had the template. Mm-hmm. Just couldn't finish it off.
Couldn't convert. And heading into the series, we both talked about how important the guard play was going to be, because you kind of figure, hey, the Sun have very talented bigs. The Sky also have very talented bigs. Like, it's never simple as, it's never as this simple, but you just think, okay, they can't kind of cancel each other out. Can the Sun knock down enough shots? Can their backcourt make enough good decisions? Can they make enough shots off the bounce? Can they make enough spot up shots? And can they prevent Chicago's guards from getting downhill and wreaking havoc? As you mentioned, Allie Quigley didn't have a great game. 1 of 11 from the field in this one. Still made an impact with her movement, with her screening. She deserves props for that. And during the broadcast, I think it was LaChina Robson that was talking about, she's like, the defense was there for Allie Quigley. So she contributed in other ways, but the scoring wasn't there. And Corey Vandersloot, it wasn't a takeover game. She didn't have a true takeover stretch in this one. And so this was the one for the Sun to say, all right, bet, we got a 2-1 lead. We got two shots at it. And it just didn't happen for them. And again, like, just based on how it went, it feels more likely like, okay, let's just, this was our shot, whatever. Kurt's talking about layups. John Quayle's upset. Alyssa Thomas is upset. DeWanna Bonner's doing all she can to rally the troops, but it's just frustrating to watch. I don't like seeing teams this good have these sort of issues. Like, this is, again, going back to the Bucks comp. Like, this is what frustrated me most about Milwaukee, like, during their title run. Just looking at some of the things they did offensively in particular, it's like, you guys are too good, and you will do good things and then just not do it anymore. It's one thing to do the thing and just not get the result, because that's just basketball sometimes. Sometimes the shots just don't fall, or sometimes the defense just plays better. That happens. Don't make it easier on your opponent by not doing what you should be doing. It just grinds my gears.
I will counter. Good for this. I will counter. The Sky do make it very difficult for you to do what you want to do and feel comfortable doing it.
That's true.
We've seen that all season long. We've seen a whole lot of teams walk in there with the plan, and all of a sudden they look out of character.
It's tough. It's really tough. It's like, this is why Chicago is a game away from getting to the finals. I guess for me, it's just like, make Chicago take it off the table for you. Don't take it off the table yourself. And then Chicago's like, all right, bet, we're going to ramp up our defense anyway. Now you really can't do anything. Why are you having...
This man is upset.
I'm upset. I just have possessions flying in my head. Like, early first quarter, it's Courtney Williams setting up an empty corner pick and roll with Alyssa Thomas, and then she rejects that one too. It's a pass to Tisha Heidemann. Tisha Heidemann sets up a pick and roll with Alyssa Thomas. She rolls to the right, rolls to the middle of the floor. Jonquel Jones, who was spaced at the beginning of the possession, she's now at the dunker spot. So now it's Alyssa Thomas rolling into the dunker spot where Jonquel Jones is. Chicago's there to help. They reset, peel it back out. Natisha Heidemann and Jonquel this time. And now Jonquel is rolling to the left side of the floor, but Alyssa Thomas is in the short corner. And so Candace Parker's just sitting on that too. And it's just like, why are you doing these things? Where is your purpose? Where is your direction? That's not Chicago saying, we know what you want to run. We're going to switch this screen early. Now you got to do something else. This is objectively bad offense that you are running on purpose. These are bad decisions that you are making against an elite defense and making it easier. Why?
And the process dunking is on the loose.
They're too good for this.
Speaking of too good, how good was... never mind.
Oh, man. Aces Storm.
Yeah, there we go. Speaking of too good.
Genuinely one of the most exciting basketball games that I've seen in my lifetime. The Storm, I feel for the Storm to a degree. Anyway, the Aces beat the Storm 110-98 in overtime. That is not a typo. A 12-point overtime win for the Las Vegas Aces to take a 2-1 series lead. There were so many moments in this game. There are so many moments in this fourth quarter in which I thought, okay, the Aces are going to take this one home. Oh, wait, the Storm have just snatched this. The Aces should be ashamed of themselves. Oh, wait, this game's going to overtime. What are the Storm doing? Wait a minute. How have the Aces blown this one open? The Storm should really be ashamed of themselves. How did we get here? Like, this is an Aces team that they blew it open in the first half. So we can start there. Or you, how surprised were you that Seattle ramped up the defensive pressure to that degree to kick off this game?
I was very surprised. We were watching the game. I mentioned I was a little shocked that the Storm turned up the activity up that much, especially getting Gabby Williams back in the lineup. Two on the ball felt like a lot for me just because it opened things up for the Aces. It opened up the role for them. It allowed them to get into more of a comfortable flow. You don't want to give an Aces team that you kind of had in the mud an outlet to feel like, oh, no, we can get back to doing what we're doing. And that's what the first half kind of felt for me. And then it was a lot of also just Chelsea Gray saying, hey, this doesn't matter. Like, whatever y'all are doing doesn't matter. Like, Gabby Williams, welcome back. But also, no.
And you can get these buckets too.
Yes, you can get them too. And then Asia Wilson also just not stopping her play. But I didn't know if I liked how active the Storm were, especially when you consider we talked about the big lineup for the Aces versus the small lineup for the Aces. You're letting that lineup that had struggled have an outlet, mm-hmm. have a path to scoring, have a path to success, have a path to getting you in scramble and rotation. Now you combine that with the small lineup, and we mentioned that makes that lineup pop more. So that kind of threw me for a loop. The Aces felt the most in control offensively that they had all series long, where it felt like, okay, we have a purpose, we have movement, we're playing, you're all rotating, scrambling, now we can hit Jackie Young, now she drives, Cussie Plum's looking comfortable in pick and roll, there's cutting. Like, just, it felt like they had more pieces moving outside of where do we go. Mm-hmm.
I didn't get it, honestly, because we've talked about the half-court offense, and part of that has just been the Storm kind of dictating things by saying, hey, we're just going to switch all this fancy stuff that you like to run, and we're going to bank on you being flustered enough by this widget that we'll be able to scram out of whatever immediate mismatch you have. And now you have to play against us late in the clock. And that's the thing that they've been able to do against the starting lineup in particular through the first two games of the series. So I was surprised when first ball screen we see from the Aces, we got big at the level. I'm like, wait a minute. Why? Like, I can kind of get the thought process because we talked about this before the series. I was like, hey, a thing to keep an eye on. Kelsey Plum's been very good. If you trap her, like, the results have been uneven. Sometimes she's handled it very well. Sometimes she's taken a dribble too long. You're able to kind of fluster her, and then they get late in the clock. And so I can understand that. And if you are of the mindset, like, Chelsea Gray's making everything, let's just get it out of her hands and we'll deal with it, especially if Kia Stokes is the one screening for her. I can get why you get there or how you get there. I can't say that I agree with it. And the Aces, again, took control early in that game.
I get the process behind it, but not for this team. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this all year long. The Aces have had the talent, guard and wing-wise, and teams have refused to give them two on the ball. Whether it's the under, whether it's the switch, we're just not going to give you that. We're not going to open that box up. And then the Storm just kind of handed it to him early. And I was like, whoa, do you know what you're doing here? Now you got Stokes as a threat rolling. You have Asia Wilson who can pop or short roll. You're still trying to figure out what matchups you want to do there. You still have guard play. And now people are attacking a scrambling defense. Kind of opened up a lot here. So that's where it's like, for this specific team, it felt like Pandora's box.
Yeah, and that's something that you hit on very early in the watch party. Like, again, it'll be one thing if it, even on that front, it'll be one thing if it was just, hey, Kia Stokes is involved. We are getting the ball out of whoever's running this pick and roll. Because if Kia Stokes has to make the short roll decisions or just finish at the basket because it's been a struggle throughout the series, all right, fine. She has to prove it. Asia's involved as a screener, and they're still putting two on the ball. I'm just like, wait, this is an automatic for you? This is just what you want to do? And I wanted to ask Coach Quinn about that postgame, and I asked her, like, hey, was this you just kind of wanting to ramp up the pressure, trying to set a tone, or was there something that you wanted to attack with that particular coverage, or you saw a weak spot you got to hop on? And she said she just wanted to set a tone, and the Aces handled it well, and that's kind of why we simplified things heading into the second half. And sure enough, we didn't see much of two on the ball in the second half. That third quarter, it was a lot more of the switching, a little bit of drop mixed in, but more so the switching. And it kind of highlighted some of the issues that I've had with Vegas in the half court in this series in particular. The shot making from Chelsea Gray has been insane. It's legitimately been historic. And after only shooting 60% from the field in this game, she's only shooting 64% from the field in this playoff run. So that's only second all time in WNBA playoff history.
Chelsea Gray has been absolutely insane, and everyone needs to realize it. It's been complete insanity. Please acknowledge her. Continue, Nikaias.
Yes. And so it's been incredible to watch, and it has to be at least a little bit demoralizing to defend against. But my issue with the Aces have been, okay, it's cool that Chelsea can knock down these shots. You want Chelsea to make these shots when all else fails. You don't want that to become your offense. And I think we saw many possessions in that second half to where we're going to dribble it across half court with like 12 or 13 left on the shot clock. We're going to run whatever it is that we run. It probably doesn't work because Seattle does a great job of switching. And now it's Chelsea save us, or Kelsey save us, or Asia save us. And they have the talent to do so. But you can't build the boat out of that against a team that's good, especially when Seattle got rolling on the other end, because now they're turning these misses into early offense. And the Storm were able to kind of find the flow. They're able to pick out mismatches as the Aces are trying to get back in transition. It's early seals in that regard. It's early screens with an empty corner. They're getting to their movement, going side to side and running different off-ball movements. And now the Storm are in the flow. And now the Aces are pulling the ball out of the basket. And now it's like, no, now you have to execute in the half court. And in that third quarter, the execution was not there for most of it.
Well, I think it's part of the tough thing to adjust to on the fly, because you've been fighting the Storm all series long, trying to execute, trying to find things that'll work, trying to manipulate the pressure points, trying to go with the process. They're throwing scram switches at you. You're trying to attack matchups. You're finding a way to play your game in a fashion that you're not necessarily used to. And so you have that first half where things open up and you feel like yourself. And then you come back out for the second half and the Storm said, nope, get back in the mud. So now you're like, wait a minute. Wait, this pick and roll is a switch now? Okay, fine, we'll do that. That's cool. I'll attack one-on-one. Asia, come here. Oh, wait, this is a switch. Now you're doing the kick thing? Oh, okay. Are we supposed to post up? Oh. You could see them kind of processing on as it was happening in real time. And I think that just threw them out of rhythm. Now, to your point, you don't want the shot making to be the relied thing, but we've talked about that with the Aces all year long. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to have to find a way to balance it so that, hey, we're able to survive in the mud. We could still kind of play our game. That's the big thing for the Aces to complete this series. Mm-hmm. But yeah, once the Storm are able to kind of tamper things down a little bit. Now they're out in transition, as you stated. They're not taking the ball out of the net every time. It just kind of turned into a haymaker fest. And boy, both of these teams were throwing left and right.
Good Lord, man. Where do you want to start with this fourth quarter in overtime? Where should we start? Because there was so much there.
I don't know if there's a natural starting point. That was pure insanity. Like, we talked about it during the game. I don't know if either of these teams are going to feel great if they lost that one. And I don't even know if you can go with the whole fourth quarter. I just think about the last 2 minutes There were so many forgotten plays and forgotten moments. Like, you know how many big shots Raquan Williams hit?
Yes.
But I told you she would swing a game.
You did.
I did not know it would be that one, but yeah, she was out there ready to go. The storm responding. Breonna Stewart said, "I've had enough." And I don't even know. I really don't know which one to start with, because here, I'll go here. All right. We'll fast forward.
Okay.
11 seconds left. This thing looks cooked. 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 I'm sorry. But Nikias, we got to talk about one Ezzy MacBoer.
Oh, goodness. Well, let's start with 11 seconds left, because that's going to be yet another big shot made by Raquan Williams. So screen to screener action to pry her loose. Stephanie Talbot gets lost in the sauce on the initial screen. Kelsey Plum screens for Asia Wilson. Asia Wilson screens Sue Bird off. Raquan Williams pops free. Ezzy MacBoer is not in position to contest the shot. It's pretty much a wide open three for Raquan Williams to bring the deficit down to one.
So on that play, that's got to be Ezzy. So Kelsey sets a brush screen for Asia to go into the pin down for Williams. Ezzy can't get stuck on that screen from Kelsey Plum. That's her switch. And if you go back and watch that play, just watch Sue Bird's reaction after that. Just immediate rage. Just immediate rage. And that was that was the biggest shot. I mean, because late game, you're switching everything. Mm-hmm. You can't get caught there. You cannot get caught there.
Can't get caught there. So now it's 89-88 after Raquan Williams three. The Aces are able to foul Tina Charles after a second attempt.
Yep, Tina Charles.
Tina Charles misses both free throws.
Desperate for a ring and misses both. You have two opportunities to end the game right there. It's over. Done. You're up 2-1. And then Asia. You missed both of them.
Miss both. The Aces call timeout, because of course you do. And we get a clear out for Asia Wilson above the break, a tough drive and a score. However, it's a travel. It's a clear as day travel that is missed. I do laugh a bit because that travel wasn't called, but earlier in the quarter, they called a travel on Kelsey Plum on a shot that she was blocked, which I don't understand how that happened. But at any rate, the refs Asia, just miss a blatant travel on Asia.
Asia did the whole cha-cha slide on that drive.
It's the whole, she did a line.
Oh, no.
Like, no. It was, Steve is watching the playback.
No, like, she, no, she did the watermelon crawl. What is happening?
And like, it trips me out, because like, there was an earlier bucket from Asia in the fourth quarter that she traveled on that was also missed, that was less egregious than that one. And like, Sue Bird immediately calling for like, wait, where's the travel? Several Storm players. And then you get to that play where Asia takes no less than five steps. And I guess they were just so demoralized by the fact that Tina Charles, they just gave up the three, and then Tina missed the free throws, and then Asia scored, that nobody even signaled for a travel. Noelle Quinn caught it. She talked about it post-game. A reporter was asking her a question. She's like, oh, you mean the play that Asia traveled on? I was like, oh, she saw that. But I guess because they were just so demoralized, they didn't even recognize that Asia traveled to that degree. But whatever. Before we can even tweet about the travel, the you storm cannot, runs the screen.
You cannot process a single thing. Like, this game was so insane and that good. Literally. To your point.
Can't even tweet about the Asia travel bucket, because their screening action ran Sue Bird in the left corner. Raquan Williams and Asia Wilson bought something. I think it's just Raquan Williams taking a bad angle to try to track over Sue Bird.
Nah, I thought that at first, but you got to give Breonna Stewart credit on that. Her screen turned into, let me just back up and post up and try and hit everyone I can at the same time. So she didn't give Asia the natural angle to switch out. Mm-hmm. And Raquan was basically stuck behind both of them. So it was like, because there's also a chance that they could just throw it into Stewie. Mm-hmm. So that was good. And then Sue Bird in the corner, looks like a storybook ending. How on earth the crowd is going wild? Think about what we've just had. Just we only started at 11 seconds, Nikias.
We are 5 minutes into the last 11 seconds of the game. So Sue Bird hits that shot. Stoic face. The crowd is going crazy. This is Sue Bird has erased the sins of her teammates, whatever you want to call it. She has drained the shot. Holy crap. Sue has given the Storm a lead in Seattle. Closeout game in Seattle for a chance to go to the finals in Sue Bird's last year. You can feel the headlines being typed in various major sports networks. Can't even celebrate that one yet. Can't even type out 12 U's and 16 E's for Sue, because by the time you get to the second U, it's Jackie Young and Kelsey Plum on the left side of the floor. Kelsey Plum lifts up. Jackie Young curls in. Ezzie Mabigor is stuck. She thinks a screening action is coming for Kelsey Plum. It does not. Jackie Young hits a swim move that Julius Peppers would be proud of. Gets inside leverage on the shot. And then Ezzie Mabigor, who is a tremendous defensive player, who's someone that I thought should have been in the most improved talks.
No. Say the formula. Spare the formula. Say the formula. Before you... Nope. You can't use it there. Also, salute to Becky Hammon for that play. She loves that play. You get a little screen to get the switch, and now we're faking like it's going to be a pin down for Kelsey Plum. Here's the thing. There's 0.8 seconds left. You do not need to bite on that fake screen. It's one-on-one. If you looked at the spacing, it's one-on-one. Mm-hmm. It's Jackie Young coming downhill with space, and she only has one route. There's only one place for her to go, and that's towards the ball. So you switch, looking at the Plum screen, and you give Jackie Young the slant route. That's the only way she can get towards the basket. So she makes that cut, catches, and the response is, let me put my arms down.
Okay, so in defense of Ezzie.
No!
Because I was, again, watching this back earlier today. Like, 1, 2, and 3, objectively bad decision-making from Ezzie. Like, that part can't be debated. I do feel like I get where her mind went. It was the wrong place for it to go, but I get where her mind went. I do think she was off balance tracking the Kelsey thing. Jackie gets leverage, and at that point, I think in her mind, it's, I don't want to give up an and one. I don't want to put her on the line for a potential and one. The worst case scenario is this goes to overtime. I do not want to give up the potential win. Again, wrong decision to make. I don't think the refs call her for a foul if she just goes arm straight up. She doesn't leave her feet on the play. So I think verticality, you just force Jackie to finish over the top. That's what she should have done. She made the wrong decision. There's
0.8 seconds left, and you are tall.
That's, yeah.
They could have put Sue Bird in the action if they wanted that. Like, the catch happens, your arms are about to go up, and you place them behind your back. Huh?
It's objectively a bad decision. I think she just didn't want to give up the and one because she was already out of position. Again, her being out of position is her fault. She should have contested the shot. These are bad things. I get why that happened. It should not have happened.
Yeah, Sue gave her a and one, all right.
Oh, goodness. I just an unfortunate lapse in judgment from Ezzie Mabigor to send this game into overtime. Incredible poise from Jackie Young to knock down that shot.
Poise. She had a wide open layup.
Look, man. It wasn't an easy angle. She only had 0.8 seconds left. Like, we fresh off of watching Sun Sky. Like, layups can be missed. Mm. That wasn't an easy angle under the rest in Jackie Young for the third straight game at this point. Not a great offensive showing. So for her to even get the play call in that spot is huge. And that speaks to the trust that Becky Hammon has in Jackie Young. Because nobody saw that coming. That's a huge call in a huge spot, and she came through.
All right, so I apologize to Ezzy, but yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, Ezzy, she can't. Hashtag, you can't do that.
Now, there's mad things you could debate over and talk about, but one thing that is undeniable, the Aces absolutely 1,000% shut the entire door on everything in overtime, and they did it quickly. Like, Brianna Stewart got that and-one to start, and then after that, I don't recall another storm bucket. Like, I know they scored again, but for the life of me, I can't remember any of them. Like, it looks like they had all the momentum back, and then, nope, Kelsey Plum gets the and-one. And then it turns into Kelsey Plum got going in OT. And then Chelsea Gray took over. It was a relay race.
It was tough. I will say Brianna Stewart, again, really heated up in the fourth quarter in particular because the offense, I looked at her stat line after the game. I was like, when the heck did she get 20? That's not what we saw in this game. But at any rate, yeah, it was an and one to kick off the overtime, missed the free throw. A minute and a half later, it's another and one. She misses that free throw as well. I'm just like, okay, so this is just going to be the thing for the Storm. You're just not going to convert the free throws when they need to. Fine. But yeah, the Aces just said that's enough. They simply said that's enough. And lowest of keys, like just not even to go with the bid, but like Kelsey Plum's usage as a screener in the fourth quarter and overtime was pretty big for them. Like even on the... Even on the go home shot. Folks. Not educate even that. I ain't gonna do all that. But no, like even on the y'all are going home shots from Chelsea Gray, it's Kelsey Plum screening or Raquana Williams screening, whoever Sue Bird was defending at that point. Like, all right, bet. Gabby Williams, you have shown your hand. You are trying to dip under the screen and reconnect with Chelsea Gray. Chelsea Gray is like, all right, bet. We are going to get the small into the action. We're going to force you to navigate that. And on the shot that puts the Aces up, I want to say six, it's Kelsey Plum trying to hit Gabby Williams on the screen. Gabby evades, and then Kelsey Plum takes another step underneath, like, no, I'm nailing this screen. And pushed out the way, Chelsea Gray just takes a pretty much uncontested pull-up three, cashes it. It's like, welp, that's kind of tough. And the Storm just could not get it going. Brianna Stewart, again, couldn't knock down the free throws. There wasn't much from Jewel Loy until very late in the overtime, but at that point, the game was getting out of hand. It was just, I don't know how the Aces, you had to feel good after the Jackie Young bucket. I wasn't expecting that, especially since Brianna Stewart just gave him a gut punch to kick off overtime. I was like, oh, no. Like that, all of that sucked. We're still here. Actually, on the Brianna Stewart front, just looking at her matchups, I want to give a quick shout out to Kia Stokes, who defended Brianna Stewart pretty well to close out the game. And we were watching this during the watch party. I'm like, wait a minute. First half, I noted when the Aces went to their small lineup, Asia Wilson got the Brianna Stewart matchup off rip. And they put Chelsea Gray on Tina Charles or Izzy Matt-McGore, whichever big was in. It's like, no, we're just going to have Asia on Stewie. Like, that's just going to be the thing. And we get to the second half, and particularly the fourth quarter, it's a lot of Kia Stokes on Brianna Stewart. And I was like, wait, why? You should go back to your defensive player of the year. Like, she's doing a good job on her. And it didn't feel great watching live. Watching that game back, and I ended up posting a compilation on my timeline. You can check that out if you'd like. Kia Stokes fought. She contested Brianna Stewart very well. Brianna Stewart hit some tough shots. And again, there was a stretched late in the fourth quarter where Brianna Stewart knocks down three straight shots and like all of them were tough. Seattle went back to their patented action where they'd have Brianna Stewart deep in the corner, Sue Bird screen for her, and you're making a guard navigate, you're making Kia Stokes navigate, and in all but one of those attempts, Kia Stokes did a phenomenal job. And the one she didn't, you had Asia Wilson peeling in to help, and Brianna Stewart had to finish over the top, and she knocked it down anyway because she's Brianna Stewart. And so for her to basically check back in on the whim, because the only reason she checked in late in the fourth was because Jackie Young had the ankle tweak with about 3 minutes left. And so they bring Kia Stokes back in and she's immediately thrown on Brianna Stewart and she held her own. And I think that was like, that's an important stretch. She held her own. That also allowed Asia to conserve at least a little bit of energy defensively because they needed her to help braid things home in that fourth quarter. Happy feet and all. So, quick hat tilt to Kia Stokes for her defense late in that game.
No, yeah, she deserves the praise for the activity. I think the secondary part of it was that it also allowed Asia to be a roamer of sorts. So, hey, we'll take our bets with the activity he'll give us. And if you get beat, we'll have help for you. And instead of now, it's Stokes who has to make those kind of weak side decisions. So I think that kind of played into it. The question is going to be, how much do the Aces, how comfortable do the Aces feel going to that? Like, is that going to be a thing they try and do? Or is that just going to be, hey, we had a good stretch, let's move forward? Because quiet be kept. This is where it feels like the Storm are in trouble. Like, the deeper we get into the series, we talk about adjustments, but at some point the adjustments end. And it's just, can you do the thing? And so if the Aces feel like, hey, we have Chelsea Gray, you don't really have an answer for that. We have A'ja Wilson, what, third player in history to have, what, 30 in back-to-back playoff games?
Mm-hmm. In the first, so we haven't quite solved.
Yeah, you haven't quite solved that problem. We have this small lineup we can also throw at you to open things back up. We're figuring some things out with our big lineup. And all we need is one good game from Kelsey Plum and or Jackie Young.
Yeah, that's the, that's kind of tough. Like, there hasn't been a Kelsey Plum game. She made huge plays in this game, particularly as a screener and using her her shooting gravity to help open some driving lanes up. So still impactful, but she hasn't had a game yet. Jackie Young surely hasn't had an offensive game yet. And I do wonder where she's at, because she's spoken about it and many people have written features on her this season. We've all talked about how well the jumper has gone for her this year. The big jump in three-point efficiency, the jump in volume. She has said on multiple occasions that a lot of it was just a mental block for her, just taking the open shots and taking them in rhythm. And I do wonder, is she having a case of that again? Because she's passing up open looks. I was surprised, just doing basic prep earlier today, I checked, Jackie Young shooting like 60% from, like over 50% from three in the playoffs this year. You would not know it based on just watching, because she's just not taking open shots. I mean, she's not taking the shots. If there's even the hint of a closeout, she is pumping or jabbing and then trying to drive into something.
It doesn't necessarily feel like the yips, so to speak, as more as it feels like this is a weird series. I'm trying to do this for my team. Like, she's passed a few up, but it hasn't been to the point where, oh, she's just not shooting. You know, it's been like, hey, let me curl and drive and see if I can make a pass type of deal. And I think the positive for her is the minutes aren't changing. So it's not like, hey, if you're not taking these shots, you're not going to play. She's still going to play her minutes, which is a whole lot of them, which I think is going to help her long term. And again, all I need is one game from her. Mm-hmm. Because if she and Kelsey get it going, it's too much. Mm-hmm. Like, no disrespect to the Storm, but that's not
stop baked, everything.
That's not baked into what you presented defensively. Mm-hmm. If you're already having trouble with the top two and now they join the party, it's a lot.
I think I'm keeping more of an eye on that, on Jackie in particular, just because you don't want a case where Seattle, as good as they are defensively, you don't want them having two roamers on the same possession. Because when Kia Stokes is in, they're already comfortable helping off. And as we saw in this game, we saw, particularly late, like we saw Breonna Stewart getting the Jackie Young matchup, basically so she could provide help elsewhere. And you can't have that. Like, Jackie can't be that player. She's too good for it. She's shot too well this year. She's made too much of a leap for that to be something Seattle's doing on purpose. Like, oh, no, we can just live with this. And so I just want to see a little bit more aggression on that front. Like, even if she is going to drive versus taking a three, like, at least eliminate the pump fake or eliminate the jab. Like, if you're just going to drive into that open space, just do it and do it with purpose. Because I think that'll serve her a little bit better. Like, even then, if you're catching the defender off guard, that's going to set up the pull-up mid-range jumper, which she's very good at. Or she can get all the way downhill, and the Aces have been looking for rim pressure throughout this entire season. Jackie can provide that. So I think there's just a decisiveness that I'd like to see from her. Because when she's defended well overall in this series. We talked a little bit during game two, like some of the early possessions against Breonna Stewart when they went small. But aside from that, like, she's defended well. The passing has been there. You just need more, just need a little bit more decisiveness. And I think that really helped grease the wheels of this half-court offense.
No, I hear you there. And it's just such a fun series. Like in that second half, before we even got to the chaos, it was just such a chess match, such a back and forth type deal where the Storm are like, oh yeah, we're going to get back to making you guys defend Stewart with these matchups and get doubles and play out of that. Mm-hmm. And then the Aces are going to be like, oh, cool. You guys are doing the scram switch thing again. Hey, Breonna Stewart, go sit in that left corner over there. You go hang out over there. Everyone else is going to be over here. You guys try and figure it out with the small. Oh, wait, you can't. Like just little things like that got lost in the sauce. Oh, or even the Storm being like, oh, Chelsea Gray, you did a great job with all of those jump balls last game. Come gamble right here and your player is going to cut to the basket. We're just going to fire it there. Like that was like, it's such good basketball. And it's a shame. Like I selfishly want this to go to five. Sorry, Nikaias.
No, I definitely understand that. I would just say briefly on that point, it feels like that's some fruit for the Storm to grab heading into game four. When the Aces go to the small lineup, maybe you don't want just a static post-up. Maybe you want to have your bigs on the move so Chelsea Gray or these other guards aren't able to just kind of set up shop and prepare for you and dig under you and then try to time out what your move is and then go for the strip or force the jump ball. Get them on the move. And as you pointed out, like if she's gambling off the ball, like cut in behind that, just make the Aces think a little bit more. So like there, I think there's definitely some room to grow with the Storm offense. It's honestly a little bit surprising that they've had these moments against the small unit against the Aces. Like it feels like they have these stretches of we're here. This is the matchup we want to tap. We're going to go to it. And then sometimes the offense is just in the mud. And there's just a lack of decisiveness. And it kind of allows the Aces to gear up. And they can't have that.
They need a big Jewel Lloyd game.
Yeah, it's time.
The aggression was there, 20 shots, but they need her to open things up for them in the half court. And then I do wonder, what do they try and throw at the Aces? Do we see, hey, we're just doubling you, Asia. Like, we're just going to double you. You're not going to beat us, even though you have, but no more.
Actually, on that front, because I thought you were going a different place, have we seen the zone from the Storm in this series?
No.
It doesn't feel like we've seen zone from the Storm.
I think they're just so locked in on what they were doing, they didn't even put it on the table. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe they thought out there trying to get the Aces in the mud. They're going to come with something. I know that much. Now, the problem is when you throw something out there in an elimination game, it doesn't work. it's tough sledding, so.
We just got to see. Some quick lineup questions while we're here. Were you surprised with the extremely short and singular D'Erica Hamby stint on the Aces side?
No. It's good to see her back out there. But again, just with where they are in the series, what they've been doing play-wise, I didn't think it would be extended. You know, let her out there, see what it looks like, see what we contribute. But we also know what we have, and we're doing this. So, and to throw her back in there when the Storm were making a run, I don't think that would have been the right move to make. So, I got it. Okay. We can go small. We can go back to Stokes. Let you play your way back into rhythm.
Okay, understandable. I say that because, one, like, the Stokes minutes have still just been they're keeping a very close eye on those, just with how Seattle has been defending them when Stokes is in the lineup. So I was just wondering, and D'Erica Stint didn't look bad on either end. So I was just surprised that, oh, this is just it. Like, even if it was just going to be a 3-minute stint, I thought she would have gotten two of them. But that was surprising. Also, in addition to all the other great things that Asia Wilson did and all the things that are like noteworthy in the historical context, played all 45 minutes of that game three. First time that's been done since Deanna Nolan many years ago. So I just keeping an eye on the minute load period, because the Aces have had a relatively short rotation for 90% of the season, conservatively. So just
whoever comes out of this one is going to, like, both teams are playing heavy minutes. And going from this to your reward being potentially the Chicago Sky does not seem ideal. But it's that time of year. Time of year.
One thing I was thinking about looking ahead to the next matchup, like the Aces are obviously in the lead right now. They could win it. The Storm could win two straight. I was thinking, like, whoever comes out of the series, like, they're not going to face a bucket getter like they're facing in this series. Like, if the Storm get through, they're not seeing an Asia Wilson or a Chelsea Gray. Obviously, the Sky are very, very, very good. And the Sun, if they get out of their way, they're also very, very good. They don't have players like that. And if the Aces get through, they're not facing a Breonna Stewart. Like, I think there's going to be, I struggle to say easier, because, again, there's a lot of talent on the other side of the bracket. But just in terms of the game planning, like, I don't think you're going to have the same, holy crap, can we switch this? If we do switch, what do we do? I don't think they're going to have, either team would have those problems heading into the finals. At least not to this degree. But at any rate, what a game.
What a series.
What a season, dude. Like, if you're the Storm, like, how annoyed are you that you just had to play the Mystics in round one? And then your reward is playing this Aces team and having to deal with all of this.
That's it. It's incredibly annoyed. That's got to be some real frustration. That's a real path. Like, if I had a friend on the Sky, are y'all playing the Sun? That sounds incredibly disrespectful, but I'd be upset.
Yeah. We dealing with Chelsea Gray and y'all, you know, not Chelsea Gray. Like this. Oh, man. What a series. And both of the game fours are going to be on Tuesday night. We may have the finals matchup set up by Wednesday morning. We may have a pair of game fives on Thursday, which coincides with, we're not doing schedule talk today. At any rate, the playoffs have been fun.
Nikias, they had to get to Sunday. They had to get to their Sunday, and they cost themselves their Sunday. I mean, they had to, it was one or the other.
Not just any Sunday, but.
Well, it's going to be Thursday, Sunday.
Yeah. Basketball woo.
Oh, wow. All right.
Basketball woo. We here. We are here. Do you have free throw questions, good sir?
Yes, I do have free throw questions. Do you have free throw questions?
I do indeed have some free throw questions. So it appears we both have some questions to ask to close out this podcast.
Okay. Did you want to go first?
Sure. I can knock out these few. The Mavericks are reportedly interested in Dennis Schroeder. How would you feel about that fit?
I would like that fit. If there's one place that's going to work, Dennis Schroeder with Jason Kidd, allowed to do Dennis Schroeder things, help the bench lineup up. Maybe you go some wonky Schroeder Dinwiddie minutes. I think it'd be fun. I think it could work. I had a Dennis Schroeder question as well.
Okay.
Are you surprised that Dennis Schroeder signed a deal with Puma before signing a deal with the team?
Yes. Yes, I am. I am very surprised. I had no idea that was a thing. So thank you for teaching me something tonight. Then I had on the bingo card. Who did you feel worse for, Oregon football or Lewis Hamilton?
Oregon football. The triggering question that you just did.
Ah, okay. Was not expected. Look,
man, Max was at home. The shenanigans were going to ensue. It's fine. And that man hadn't lost in like 7 months, it feels like. What Oregon football did to me on Saturday.
Oh, no.
Look, man, Oregon always struggles with SEC teams. So I knew, hey, man, this might not be so great. First 7 minutes, we cool. And Bo Nix starts running around doing stuff. Where can I do the NIL to get him out of here? Get him back to Auburn.
Not you starting to GoFundMe.
Yes. Man. That was the first time in a long time the Ducks just couldn't do anything. It's like usually at least, hey, we just can't play defense. No, we just out here getting mollywopped.
It was a tough scene for your Ducks.
Thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate that, man. How was the Rice game?
Tasty. It was pretty rice. Solid.
Y'all out here cooking minute rice to start the season.
Man. Three pick sixes in the it was a great time. Caleb Williams is the one. Anyway, why did CM Punk do that?
Because he's old and he's tired and he works with children, apparently. That man's had enough.
He is. Oh, I'm not even deep in wrestling anymore. I'm like, this is all insane. I watched the clip. I'm just like, oh. Like, and I'm seeing the comments like, oh, this is just the work. They're setting, like, I don't care if it is a work. You can't say
it. Nah, that wasn't. I've seen some wrestling. That was some real motion right there, buddy.
I'm like, all right, then. This is, okay. In a similar vein, is Furkan Korkmaz okay? Because what was that story?
They said three players jumped him after the game.
Goga Bitadze is apparently involved in this, in the fisticuffs. I was like, wait, this is...
You can't do that.
Where is the... Like, I don't want to see it, but, like, where is the footage? Because apparently, like, the team wants to pull out, they don't get the footage. Like, this is a whole...
Nah, man. What? This is, give me the locker room picture and the locker room laughs, the pointing. Give me that over this. They actually jumped that man in the locker room. Where were his teammates?
That's a good question. It wasn't like him and security. That was just kind of what? I didn't have that on the bingo card either. Moving to virtual basketball. How do you feel about Russell Westbrook's 78 rating on 2K23? Too high, too low, just right?
I think it's too low. I think once you hit a certain magnitude, you should 81, 80. Can't my man Russ out here with a 78, man. I find that to be disrespectful.
Okay. Related note, what's your 2K build this year?
My 2K build?
Yeah, what are you making?
Let's see. Not a guard. I don't like dribbling. Probably make a slashing three, a slashing wing.
Okay. All right. Or Will you be streaming? I see. Will you be streaming 2K this year?
How you do that?
You already have a Twitch. Like, you literally just connect it and then...
Oh. Right, but how you, oh, I can. Y'all want to see some Myers? Let me know, Dunkers.
There we go. Take some suggestions.
I'm going straight to the Blazers rebuild. What you talking about?
There you go. Talk us through it. You know the vibes. That's all I had for you.
Let's see. So Giannis Antetokounmpo made one of the most incredible plays to block a three-point shot at Eurobasket. Started on the right block, jumped from one foot outside of the paint, blocked a wide-open corner three. You took that information and tweeted, imagine how quickly he could have made these plays if he understood basketball. Why?
I felt like it was a good shot.
Okay. Shameless behavior. The New York Knicks said their offer was better and they didn't have a chance. Why did they say that?
That's nasty business. That's nasty business, man. That's nasty business. Y'all had members of y'all were at Jazz playoff games. Like, I just don't want to hear. I don't want to hear any of that.
You don't want to hear any of that? Should coaches keep wearing polos or should the suits come back?
I'm here for the polos.
Okay, I see you cozying up. Is it weird? It's weird to see, like, kind of old games in the suits. Like, I'm like, really? Every time?
Y'all were just hot on the sidelines, huh?
It really is warm. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm just like, what are y'all? We're playing basketball at a certain point. Like, why are we church dressed to draw on a clipboard? Like, it's all right. Like, you ain't got to come in a graphic tee, but, like, I don't think the full suit is necessary. It's a whole bunch of running around and hand waving and yelling anyway. Like, why are you going to be hot? You can't be annoyed and also hot.
They kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, but we got to minimize that. It's fine. It's 2022. Like,
okay.
Polos and slacks, man.
All right. Ben Simmons or James Harden?
In what? Just period or?
I'll tell you after.
I'm a little concerned. I'm going to begrudgingly say Harden here. I feel like this is a bit.
Devin Booker or James Harden?
Oh, this is the thing, isn't it? Oh, no. Oh, no. I have nothing to say. No. Absolutely not.
Well, I had a third round, so you got to answer this one to get to the payoff.
I want no parts of this. Absolutely not. Well, I know what the first reference in the Dunker Spot community is going to be. It's like 12 laughing emojis. Like, yeah, no, I didn't see it. I've got nothing. I don't know.
James Harden or Tristan Thompson?
Come on, man. We ain't that deep in the offseason. Basketball's being played. Pro-Am being played. We scheduling training camps. Come on.
And some other things being played too.
All right. Well, 2K's dropping on Friday. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Things being played indeed.
What mode are you most excited for, sir? What build are you going to do? Are you going to do a point dribbling point guard man?
No, not going to be my portion. I will be suit Clay as usual. So off ball guard, I can slash a little bit. I'll probably make a big as well. I feel like I'm. Yeah, it'll be the two bills. Like I'll be primarily off ball guard, per usual. We'll light it up.
Do you say souped Clay? As if Clay is not souped. All right, man.
It's a Clay with athleticism. It's a Clay that can dribble.
What?
Oh man, you know the tweet. It's fine.
I was busy listening to Kelsey Plum praise you.
Oh, here we go. Did you feel good about that one?
Nikias, welcome.
Oh, man.
Oh, you thought you were going to escape that, pal.
Yes, I did.
Nope. I'm starting every pod the rest of the way with that.
I can assure you, you don't have to do that. That is not a requirement that I have.
We'll put it on a poll for the dunkers.
Well, you know what the results are going to be for that. I will say, like, one like that. I mean, that was awesome. Like, I wasn't expecting that at all. Two, it just got a. Oh, go ahead.
You said Russell Westbrook's 78 rating seems fair.
Yeah.
Let me check his age real quick.
What does that even mean? I think it's fine.
What would you do if your DoorDasher told you that they had COVID?
Dog. I'm so confused by that entire interaction. Because, like, one, why would you joke like that? Two, if you're not joking, why are you delivering food? And then for Kalia Copper, you get that information, like, jokes or not. If my DoorDasher told me, hey, I got COVID, leave the food in the lobby. I don't want the food. What? I'm sorry. Like, I am just getting something else. I'm going down to the lobby to get some chips or whatever. No, abort mission at that point.
Thank you for seeing me, Nikias.
I'm not doing this with you. Do you have anything else?
Nope.
Unbelievable. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Dunker Spot. If you have not already, please subscribe to us. We are on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us. You can find me on Twitter at NikaiasNBA. You can find Steve on Twitter at SteveJones20. And with that, we will catch y'all later in the week.
This may really promote Bill Laimbeer.